The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Lovely morning to you, Lagos, Nigeria. It's Thursday, Health Thursday is here. And we're here with another great conversation for you, wherever you are. You can get a seat, grab a seat. Keep listening to us because we want to talk about gambling addiction. We are going to have this in series, so expect more to come, okay? So you're welcome to join us. If you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube, you're welcome. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time. I am Sheriff Quadri, and I have Dr. Mobolawa Akonde Akinyemi, Senior Resident at the Federal Psychiatric Hospital Yaba, joining us via Zoom this morning. Dr. Mobolawa, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Sheriff. I'm happy to be here.
It's good to have you here. Let's begin by telling our listener this morning that get your questions ready. If you can send your questions way earlier, please do that. It will help us to get to as much as we can. So we can gather, don't call yet. I'm not saying you should call. Don't call yet, yeah? Just calm down. We'll get to the calls later. But if you'd like to send messages in, please send them in, especially to WhatsApp 0809-597-5805. Dr. Mobolawa, let's start by simply just defining what addiction means. What would you say is an addiction before we now segue into gambling, to be precise?
Okay, so we're always talking about addiction. Addiction is a illness. That's the first thing. It's a biological illness, and the cardinal signs and symptoms of this illness are a lack of control of a particular action and engaging in that action despite experiencing harm from that, an inability to control a particular action and continuing in that action despite experiencing physical, social, or even emotional harm from that particular activity. Is that loss of control and the damage of any action that causes an addiction in layman's terms.
So let's bring gambling into it. How does someone know that they are addicted to gambling?
Oh, okay, so that's a very good question. Right from when gambling was discovered or started, some people have all had problems with it. But it's only in recent times that the WHO and the medical institution has started shining an eye on gambling addiction. And it's now one of the recognized medical conditions. And gambling addiction, there are various forms of gambling. I'm sure you might even be able to enlighten me more. It's just simply when someone engages in gambling behavior, such as sports betting, betting on activities, card games, roulette, casino gambling, odd gambling, pools. There's so many forms. And then the person progresses to the extent in which the person has lost control of the person's actions. You know, the person is unable to control that gambling. It's more like the gambling is controlling the person. And then the person now starts to have this lack of control. The person, even when the person decides not to gamble, the person can't stop themselves. The person is losing time, energy, neglecting other activities, meaningful activities, pleasurable activities to focus only on gambling. The gambling is affecting the person's health. You know, the gambling is affecting the person's relationships. The person is uncomfortable when you prevent them from gambling. You know, you tell them, oh, don't gamble. The person is experiencing psychological symptoms. So those could be signs that someone has a gambling addiction.
Right.
But apart from a gambling addiction, there's something called problem gambling, which is a lesser extent. It's like the junior brother of addiction. And that is also very common that we see.
What do you call it? What do you call it again, doctor?
Problem gambling.
Problem is problem. Which one is junior there now? So how do you know what's problematic in problem gambling that can be categorized as, addiction proper?
Okay. So most people, when they come in, it's like on a spectrum. Some people say, oh, but I'm still working. I'm still meeting my obligations at home. So this gambling is not a problem for me. But if you look at that person closely, the person has started to experience harm. They started physical harm or psychological harm. They started getting depressed or moody because they have lost considerable amounts of money. Some people will use money for their school fees, for their house rent, and be scrambling. Some people take loans. Some people are supposed to be at work, and instead of focusing on work, they are checking their odds, and it's starting to affect their functioning, either at home or at work or in other spheres. So that's when it hasn't gotten to the point of, some people say that, okay, I don't gamble every week, I only gamble once a month. So they might not meet the threshold for addiction, but they are already having problems. And it's always good to know people that are at that stage so that they can get the help that they require before it becomes an addiction.
Can one gamble without leading to problem gambling or gambling addiction? Is that even remotely possible?
Yeah. So of the percentage of people that gamble, it's been in places where data has been found. It's been found that about 15% of the people that gamble will eventually come down with problem gambling or gambling addiction. So it's not everybody that gambles or engages in these activities, but a large number. And there are certain things that make you at increased risk of coming down with problems with gambling. Some of them include starting gambling at an early age. That's why there are restrictions on the age where people can gamble. Also, if you have problems with alcohol or social or psychological problems, those could also increase your risk of developing. And then if you have a particular personality or the genetic predisposition to be addicted to activities, some people say, I become easily addicted to things, then I wouldn't encourage someone like that to engage in activities like gambling.
So I wanted to ask that question before you took it right out of my mouth, that whether this is hereditary, whether it's genetic, whether it's biological. I mean, how do you even know that you are predisposed to these things?
Well, unfortunately for now, we can't really say, for alcohol, cocaine, and drugs, we've been able to identify some of the genes that predispose you to addiction to some of these substances. But for now, because the field of addiction and for non-physical substances is an evolving field, we cannot really say there are predispositions. But we do find out that these type of problems go together in a family. And then there are some personalities I'll call addictive personalities. They tend to, when they try something, they tend to get, because of the pleasure, there's an amount of pleasure that comes from some of these activities that rewires the brain. So if someone has that innate predisposition, they might not be aware of it because they've not come in contact with it, then they could come down with some of these conditions. But a lot of times you don't even know, there's no family history, it's just that person's exposure, and then the person comes down with this particular problem.
Dr. Mobolawa Akande is here from Federal Psychiatric Hospital with us on the show this morning. If you're just tuning in, you're welcome. We're discussing gambling addiction, Lagos, Nigeria. Listen, what you think? I'll start taking some messages right now before we move into other areas of our conversation. I have this message here on WhatsApp from Dakbo, who says, "Is there a meeting point between gambling and betting?"
Okay, so that's a very straightforward question. Betting is one of the forms of gambling. There are various forms of gambling, as I tried to highlight. There's sports betting. People can bet on any sport. People can bet on cricket, on horse racing. It initially traditionally started outside the country with horse racing, and all of that. But it's progressed to all sports, so you can bet on all sports. So it's just one. There are other ones, such as the ones we saw in the movies growing up, casinos, people betting on casinos and all of that. But and even it's present in Nigeria. Then there are other forms, betting against odds. So most people also consider some high-risk investments a form of gambling. So those are some of the gambling behaviors that are common here. But in Nigeria, it's mostly pools, sports betting, and the lottery. And those are the forms that are most present common in
At what
Nigeria.
point, Dr. Mobolawa, should someone say, "I need help"? At what point?
Well, that's a very good question. Unfortunately, in our own environment, because of lack of awareness, which is why the Association of National Association of Resident Doctors, as part of their Health Week, as part of our week, we're doing aware trying to raise awareness on gambling addiction, because it's becoming a problem that we're seeing more and more in our centers. So first thing is the awareness that there's a possibility that once you start this behavior, it can get out of control. And then when of a lot of things that I've seen in a lot of my patients or people that seek help is when they start hiding, there's this element of secrecy. You cannot confidently tell your family members the amount of money, the amount of time that you are spending on this type of activities, then you know that maybe you are having a problem with it. And then there's this loss of control. And I've seen it a lot that people have lost a lot of money. And then because they are beginning to have financial problems, they believe that the only way they can recoup those losses is to go back and bet and hoping that they'll make one particular bet that would reverse all the. And so they keep sending more and more funds down the rabbit hole. And then sometimes when you start to have problems, you know, because if you are having financial problems, it starts to affect your relationship with your family. You're unable to meet your commitments to your family, or you don't have to be married, even just normal commitments, you know. And then you now start having friction because you don't want your partner or your family to ask you for finances. You start to bring up fights. So when it's starting to affect you emotionally, and then you start getting depressed. Some people come down with suicidal tendencies, anxiety, depression, and all of that. So those are some of the signs. But when you are unable to control it, it's affecting your work, affecting your emotions, affecting your time. Then you have to open up to someone close to you and say, okay, we have a problem.
I need
I think
help.
we need to do something. Yeah.
Right. Incidentally, I have a question on WhatsApp. I'll come to the telephone after Doctor answers this one here. This person says, great opportunity to ask a long-time question. Doctor, please, how can one stop gambling? I've lost up to 10 million naira, always hoping and thinking I can always get my lost money back, but keep losing. 10 million, Doctor Mobolawa.
Okay, I'm so sorry to hear about your losses, but unfortunately, in our experience, that could just be the beginning of the losses. So what we always advise is there's the thing the individual can do, what the family of the individual can do, and what the society can do. So in your case, let's start by talking about what you can do. The first thing is that you have to be open and vulnerable to people in your life. You know, there's this, especially for men, you know, there's the ego. Don't tell me how to spend my money. Don't tell me. You can't question my actions. I'm capable. I'm going to work. It's not as if there's any physical sign on my body that there's anything wrong. And so there's a possibility that we can be in denial about this problem. So you have to be open up to your family, to people that are close to you. So that's the first thing. Accept that you have a problem and then be open to the solutions. So first things first is number one, you have to make up your mind. If you have that problem, the advice is that you don't gamble at all. You know, you don't even try even small amounts because then you keep chasing and chasing and then you can't control. So the first thing is to make up your mind that you're going to stop gambling. And then so you have to try and reduce the amount of time you spend in those activities centered around gambling. So if you say you're not going to gamble, then you go and sit down and be greeting your favorite guy that helps you to place your bet. So you try and, or your friends that engage in those type of activities would advise you to maybe step back from them. You tell your family members so they can hold you accountable. Try to keep busy. One of the things we found out that is if you have activities that keep you busy, that keep you occupied from morning to night, both leisure and work activities, then they tend to prevent you from engaging. Then number three, you have a contingency plan. When you have that urge, because it comes like a strong physical urge that you cannot complain, you cannot control, you should have a plan in place. It's sort of what we do like for addiction. You have an accountability partner, a friend, a church member, and you call that person and then you talk to that person 10, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 30 pages. If they're able to distract you for that time, you found out that it reduces the risk that you're going to go back to that type of behavior. Another thing is reducing access. I had one of my friend patients. I told them that you're going to have to, because it's not only about walking there, those apps are now on your phone. You have to change the type of phone you're using. You have to use Malasa phone, a phone that has no internet enabling, and then you might have to give up control of your finances and have someone else through this period help you watch over your finances. So those are some of the things that the beginnings of the things you can do. Even if tried on your own and you can't manage it, you could come to the hospital. And we've had to admit a couple of patients based on the severity of their condition for
It
this type of
can lead to hospital admission.
Yes, if there's that loss of control.
Yeah.
And in some cases, because of that loss of control, I've had some people attempt suicide because, you know,
Ooh.
they've been hiding it and then all of a sudden
Right.
the bubble breaks, and then everybody now realizes that, okay, and then so their own solace is, what can I do? I can't live with the consequences. So people, but some people, because they've not tried on their own, there's an inpatient on treatment. Unfortunately, there are no dedicated facilities for now in Nigeria that manage that. So you have to do it in a place that manages addictions holistically for now.
Indeed. Let's take some calls as we prepare to go out on our first break this hour. Please do know that you're allowed to be anonymous if you want to be anonymous. It is very, very much allowed. But we just want to hear your gambling experience. If you think that, if you have questions as around gambling, or if you think you are addicted to gambling, or you could be having problem gambling. Abby, Doc, that's what you call it.
Problem. Yes, gambling. That's correct, sir.
Yeah. All right. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190. Those are the telephone lines we're working with. The second one is for the female callers only. WhatsApp is 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. Good morning to you. Morning.
Good morning.
Yes, please. Good morning to you. I can't hear you. Do try and call me back. Okay, please do that. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sherry.
Yes, please. Morning to you.
This is Pastor Ladi Bokole from Oslegon.
Welcome.
You know, going to serious gambling.
Pastor Ladi, we're having issues with your connection as well. Do try and call me back if you can, okay? Please do try. We appreciate that. I guess maybe it's because of the rain or something. I'm not sure exactly. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Sherry.
Yes, please, morning to you.
Yeah, you have the man I'm calling you from it.
Welcome.
I want to ask the doctor, does a religious have a role, or prayer have a role to play in stopping gambling?
Can prayer stop gambling addiction?
Yes.
Okay.
That is my question.
All right. I'm not sure. Do you have an answer for that?
Well, I think all of we are both biological, physical, emotional, and spiritual beings. So okay. I would say that all those components have to be addressed, but you don't address one at the expense of the other. So you do the spiritual and you do the physical, the emotional, the social. So it's an holistic treatment for this type of condition.
Indeed. Let's take another call now. Can I take another? I think let's see, let me take another one.
Yes.
Morning to you.
Hello, good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Yeah, okay. So, quickly, my question is, if gambling addiction is such a menace, and as described as the doctor, why is it encouraged? I mean, all over the world, not just Nigeria.
All over the world, yes.
All over the world. I mean, sports and everything. And so, if it is such a menace, why is it then still encouraged, even by the government? That's just a question. Thank you.
All right. Dr. Mbarawa, I'm not sure you can answer this, but before you come in, let me just say that, you know, it's the same thing for alcohol, the same thing for cigarette. All of these addictive practices or activities, you know, it's all over the world. And the world over, we have problems with these things, but we seem to still be allowing these things go on.
Well, okay, so you want me to talk, get controversial. Now, the truth about it is that there's profits to be made from this type of business. There is a lot of money to be made from this. And in places where things are a bit more organized, they know that, okay, out of a large number of people that gamble, some people are going to have problems. So, number one, they put a lot of safeguards. You cannot gamble because, you know, at a particular age, because they know that the developing brain is very, very sensitive. My patients, when they describe that first experience of maybe your first time you gambled or you made such a large amount of money, there's a high, a pleasurable high that they keep chasing, you know, the same way you get high rolls. They keep chasing that high with subsequent attempts at gambling. And unfortunately, they are unable to replicate it. But they're like, oh, I felt this way and I got this. I put in 20,000 and I made in 500,000.
Right.
And I was young. So they keep trying to get that high. So what happens is that ideally, a part of the proceeds, because I can imagine the amount of money that comes, billions upon dollars, is set aside for rehabilitation of the people that have this problem. So once you know you're going to start gambling or you're opening up your economy to gambling, then you must have safeguards. Okay, that, okay, there are helplines you can call, there are treatments you can receive based on the funds and that you get from this gambling, and that so you don't have to pay for it. Unfortunately, if anybody has that type of condition now, the person will have to pay out of pocket, and we know how expensive treatment is.
Right.
So that's the situation on the ground. Yes, we do know that there's going to be harm, but it's not everyone. And then we have to make sure that there are systems in place that would care for people that do eventually come down,
right,
and not stigmatize them, not say it's a form of weakness. You know, I meet some people that they are very high functioning in whatever they do, and you wouldn't know that they are the face of gambling addiction. And they'll be like, oh, I'm so strong. I get into the first class. I'm a pastor.
Right.
Why am I having this moral weakness? And it was like, no, it's a condition. It's a medical condition that requires treatment and support.
Dr. Mobolawa, I'm going to come to you after the break and ask you a very direct question as to, you know, how big is the problem? Because on the streets, I hear a lot of things going on as to how widespread the gambling thing has gone on the streets. But I'd like to know from someone who meets with these people every now and again, what your perception is about the widespread gambling problem that we have. Same way we will talk about when we get to a drug much later on. But let's go to break. Let's go to break, Lagos. Eh? Let's go to break. We'll be back in a moment, Lagos. Stay with us. We'll be back.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Hey, yes, we're the nation's number one radio station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. 8:39 is the time from our studios here. Lagos, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time. On Health Thursday today, Health Thursday comes your way every Thursday. And what we do is we discuss health and health-related matters. It could be on the policy side or the actual medical side or any other health-related matters, you know, that may come up. That's what we do here. I have on the show this morning Dr. Mobolawa from Federal Neuropsychiatric Hospital. She's a resident there at the hospital. Dr. Mobolawa, thank you again for giving us your time today.
You're welcome.
Now, let me quickly talk to you briefly about another aspect of our conversation this morning. No, wait. You know, before we can go on to that, I would like to take some messages. I have quite a number of them here, and I doubt if we'll be able to even touch 1% of what we have here. But let me take this one here that says, his name is Olushoga, that says 60% of Niger youths gambling has taken over an average Nigerian youth's reasoning, and most of them can't think properly, and this is killing. Olushoga, thank you for dropping that. Let me go down. Okay, I have another one here. This person says, I just sent my friend message now. He needs to listen to doctor. Gambling now in work, oh. That's and he sent me the screenshot of the message he sent to his friend. Okay, before we go to how the true situation is like on the streets, Doc, this person wants to know if Bitcoin is also a gamble.
Okay, so as I mentioned it briefly, I said some of these risky financial or quick money making schemes can be addictive. And in the true sense, I'm not really sure, but Bitcoin, I'm not, that's not my, yes. But I do know that we have seen some people who have had serial problems because they engage in different forms of the same activity. You know, everyone that comes out over a long couple of years, that it's been so severe that it has led to break of marriages, you know, because this person keeps, today it's Bitcoin, tomorrow is another one, and then the person keeps engaging in in these activities, taking loans, getting into problems, causing problems at the person's work, so if it's becoming, the person is always checking, money night, you know. So it sometimes it can take the form of an addiction.
Right.
Eating it in itself is not an addiction, but if the person becomes addicted, the person can become addicted to some of those behaviors.
Right.
And it could cause a lot of problems. Yeah.
Right. Let's take this call, then we'll come to what it is like on the streets. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Dr. Sherry.
Good morning to you.
This is Pastor Ladiko.
Welcome.
Good morning to your guest. Sherry, my question this morning is this. What are the signs that you have to look out for in somebody so that if you want to kind of offer a help, that, look, oh, this person I'm seeing is becoming an addicted to this particular thing. Because I remember growing up, I was a serious gambler. I can gamble on anything. But I think for many years now, many years, more than 30, 35 years, I've forgotten about it. But now, what are the signs you have to look out for so that you can quickly intervene and help someone? Thank you.
I think this was mentioned earlier. While we wait on that, let's quickly take a message here from Alex Solomon, who says, my question is, isn't it also a venture? Because I know quite a number of persons that got made through gambling. He said he wants his curiosity allayed. Like, can it be a job, gambling?
Okay. Now, gambling cannot be a job. Gambling is supposed to be a pastime or hobby, something that is done infrequently. There's statistically, it's almost impossible to earn a living from gambling. And so this brings me back to a conversation I had with one of my patients. I'll never forget him. Was a banker and had this problem. And when he told me, he was like, oh, but I've made, the first time I gambled, I made close to 800,000. And then I've made another 300,000. So I've made money from gambling. And then we had to sit down and say, oh yeah, let's look at your expenses. You earn a particular amount, let's say 600,000. Out of your income, how much do you spend on gambling? He was spending even above his income at that time.
Ooh.
So, and then over, you've been doing this for close to 4 or 5 years. Yes. Okay. So if you're saying you're earning, let's say, 8 million a year, and then you've been having this problem for 4 years, how much have you spent? Conservatively, 20 million.
Right.
And then how much have you gotten as real returns from this? By the time you look at it statistically, it's almost impossible for anyone to... But it's because of that feeling of pleasure you get when you make that large sum of money, you now begin to... It helps you to forget some of the losses. That's the first thing. So it's not a business. It's supposed to be something you just engage in for a few, once in a while for fun. It's not... if people could make money from it, then... The companies that are engaged in it will be making a loss. So it must be that most people are unable to make. And then I remember that when I was talking to this young man, he had attempted suicide. It was one of my first experiences with it, you know, very well-spoken from a lovely family. And then I asked him, while he was on admission, that, okay, if between me and you now, if I discharge you at this point in time, will you go and gamble? And do you know what this young man, it stuck with me. He said yes, that he believes that he's close to cracking the algorithm, his calculations are about to come into place, that the next time he bets or the next two times he bets, he's sure he would have gotten the formula to, and I was like, wow, you have a police case. And that's to show you how addictive some of these behaviors can be.
Right.
He's seeking help, but he's still not totally, so it can be very, very difficult, very addictive. And so it's not something that would encourage as
a full-time
it's
job.
It's a game of chance as a full-time job.
I hope
I've been able to make some sense.
Yeah, I think you have. I think you have, Doc. Now, let me build on that because of this experience you've just shared now, and I'm guessing this was quite some time ago. Look at that experience and now, how would you say the situation is? What are we looking at? What sort of problem are we looking at?
Wow, it's becoming a big problem because there's a whole ecosystem and a lot of people don't even know. That's why we're here, so that people will start to understand that some of the things we think are normal are actually problem behaviors. You know, you're talking to a young person like, ah, my money just came, I'm home, and then everything just ends. I have some, how can I place my numbers? Conversation, they can't control themselves. Mm. Ah, one number just came to me. It's become so funny that I have a lot of patients that are like psychotic patients, and then I ask them that when they get better, those ones that were vagrants, that how were you able to survive? They say that young men come to meet them every morning and ask them, well, yeah, give us odds. Mm. And there are so many of them. Mm. Yeah, there's this whole ecosystem, people that generate the odds and all of that. So it's becoming a large problem, a large proportion. I was reading some of the data. It said over 70% of youths, of children, yeah, have engaged in betting in a year. And over 50% have bet in a given week. In Nigeria, 50% of people that legally should not be betting have bet this week. So that shows you the dimension that this problem is beginning to take. And it's not something that, you know, if someone has malaria, you can see it on their face. With someone that has this addiction, they're physically fine.
Yeah.
So it's something that is a hidden disease. It's one of those hidden diseases that someone can have.
I know that doctors at Federal Inner Psychiatric Hospital, Yaba, you're doing something in this regard. Tell me about that.
Okay. So the Association of Resident Doctors, because of we've been seeing a lot of people coming in with this condition. And, you know, as a hospital of that nature, you tend to see them at the end, you know, the chronic cases. Mm. So we decided that before we want to raise awareness amongst the youths, gambling addiction in the youths. So this week, as part of our Doctors Week, the Resident Doctors Week, we've been doing some health awareness. We went to some of the schools around us, and we try to educate them on the dangers of gambling, the signs of, that someone is having problems with gambling addiction and what to do. And yesterday we had, as our ordinary general meeting, we had like a stakeholders meeting, and we're very happy because a lot of people that are involved in policy making about addiction were there, and they were able to talk to them. So, because, you know, you just sit down, we are thinking of numbers, you're thinking about policy.
Yeah.
We are the ones that deal with the people that are experiencing
the actual victims. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
The actual victims, their families are victims. So we have to find a place in between where we can talk, and then we can make rules and make policies that will reduce the risk of some of these conditions. And so that's what we're trying to do this week, this whole week. For the doctors at the Association of Resident Doctors, we're doing, trying to raise awareness on gambling addiction amongst the youth.
Great one. And I'd like to sincerely thank you and your colleagues for that noble gesture. We need more awareness out there. Let's take one or two calls as we begin to wrap up. Good morning to you. Morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Yes,
good
please.
Good morning, Perry.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, my name is Bobby from Mekki.
Welcome.
Thank you, doctor. Thank you, Sheriff. This is, I think this is very...
Can you hear him now?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, please go on.
Okay, I think this is very important. For me, personally, I can't even remember how I got into gambling. And it was a pastime. I started it as a pastime from just peer pressure. And it had to do with football, a game I love so much. But before I knew what was happening, it took my life. 247, I was always staring into my phone. Like the doctor said, by the time I did an analysis of my wins and my losses, I was even losing more than I earned, as you know, as somebody that works. You know, it was terrible. And I think for me, the breaking point came to when around 2 a.m., my wife had to call me. Because I think she noted that some things were going on. Maybe she kept seeing the debit alerts and all that. So she had to call me and speak to me around 2 a.m. And that was when I knew I had to stop. I had some withdrawal syndrome. It was a tough one for me.
Thank you, my friend.
Finally, I let go.
Thank you for sharing. I really would like to talk to you some more, but Doc, we need to go now. We don't have time again. But what we're gonna do is I'm gonna have another doctor on the show next week, and we'll pick up from where we stopped on addiction. Dr. Mobolawa Akande, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
It's It's my pleasure as usual.
Right.
Nice to be here.
Lagos, that's our show. I'm Sharif. I'll be back tomorrow at 5. We're talking irregular migration tomorrow, not open mic. We'll start open mic at 5, of course. But later on, we'll dovetail into irregular migration conversation with the IOM on the show tomorrow. Bye for now.
The best of talk on the station for talk.
Nobody should just give up their life like...
I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running mate to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired are fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.